What's up, everyone, and welcome back to the Tailgate Country Songfighters podcast. Songfighters is all about Nashville's best up-and-coming singer-songwriters. This week, Walker Wilson joins me to talk about what he's got going on in Nashville, his debut song release, and some shows he recently played. Follow Tailgate Country on Instagram at tgatecountry and on TikTok at Tailgate Country Podcast for some great video content from today's episode. So how's everything going today?
Today, you want like a recap of my day?
Sure, go for it.
Woke up kind of late, was out kind of late last night. A bunch of the boys came in town last night, so stayed out kind of late and got up around 10, had a ride at 11, wrote till then, went home, kicked it on the couch for a little while, caught up on the sleep that I missed, and now I'm here with you.
Nice.
This has been a very simple and easy, what is today, Monday?
Yeah, Tuesday.
It's Tuesday?
Yeah, it's Tuesday.
It is Tuesday.
No one knows what day it is in this town, honestly. Did you write a good song today?
We did. It was me, Jake Gant, Presley Aaron, and Sam Johnson. We wrote one called Built for a Back Road.
Nice. That sounds...
That's like the hook of it, Built for a Back Road.
I like it. So kind of tell me who Walker Wilson is. You know, we met at Live Oak a couple weeks ago. I actually don't know too much about you.
Well, I'll be glad to fill you in. So, you want me to tell you like Nashville story or like
tell
everything?
Me, I guess, how you got started into music and
I grew up in Mississippi, but I moved to East Tennessee. Oh, I was 15 when I moved to East Tennessee, so right at that kind of pivotal time in your life. So I learned to drive in East Tennessee and whatnot, and I made a lot of my friends that I have now in East Tennessee because that's nice. Where I learned to party and just do all the things you do when you're 15 to 24. I started playing music about, I'd say I was probably 19 when I started playing music, and I would just do, I played like a lot of the bars around town. We probably got 4 bars, a couple like marinas in that mix. And played a lot of those with my now roommate that I live with. And he kind of got me going. He had a band, was playing around town. He wasn't doing much either. And just fell in love with it and kind of came to realize that, you know, I could see myself doing this, but I never really did anything about it. And ended up going to trade school, getting a degree. And worked quite a few jobs. And I had a career, a really good job, right before I moved here this past June. And I worked that job for about a year and a half. And then after that year mark, I was still playing shows on the weekend, writing songs here and there. I was in the process of recording a song. And I was like, man, this is pretty cool. Like I'm having way more fun Friday, Saturday, Sunday than I am during the week, and I'm actually making more money than I was making. And I was like, which I've come to learn that's not as common as you would think.
Mm-hmm.
And so I saved up money for 6 months. I made the decision that January. So last January I made the decision. Waited, and finally I had the right amount of money. And my mom, she doesn't have, like, she just kind of mills around. She has a job here, there, and yonder. But she, sorry, Mom. But she came out here and found me a house, called my buddy that I live with now, and I was like, hey, do you want to put a lease down in Nashville? And he said, yeah. So June 9th, we signed our lease, quit my job, moved out here, and I've been kicking it ever since.
That's so awesome. What kind of job did you have before?
I was a machinist.
Okay.
So we made... I ain't even going to go into what we made, but basically I made little things, little metal things out of big metal things.
Nice. That's a
pretty much
great description. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of a similar story to me moving here. Was I was, had my job out of college and it was fine. I liked it and kind of through this podcast and met some great people here in Nashville and was like, you know, I think I'm just going to quit and move. And so that's what I did. And
so I know this podcast about me, but I really want to know like what went through Hunter's head when Let's Make Tailgate Country Podcast a thing. When that thought came through.
We started it back at the beginning of the pandemic,
mm-hmm.
when kind of Zoom became a thing, and we realized like some artists could.
God, I hate Zoom.
Yeah. I like doing this so much more better than
like Zoom for me. Like I didn't watch any live feeds. I didn't Zoom right. I just couldn't do it. I'm an in-person person.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just my fault, but
yeah.
I know a lot of people had a lot of success with Zoom, but I try to stay away from it as much mm-hmm. as possible. Even today, I try to stay away from it.
Yeah, so we did a couple interviews, and then, you know, all of a sudden we had some artist management and PR companies reaching out trying to push their artists on us. So we just kept doing it, and about 2 years later I'm here in Nashville deciding to do some in-person stuff, and yeah, it's been fun. I'm like really enjoying
it. Did you use Clubhouse?
Yeah.
Were you on that wave?
Yep.
I was listening to y'all. I think it was y'all's. Did y'all interview Parker?
Parker who?
Gray.
Yeah.
I think I was listening to that one, and everybody was talking about Clubhouse, because I got on Clubhouse before I moved here, like a month before, because it was kicking back in, what?
It was like February, like March. Yeah.
I was on Clubhouse when I was still in my other job. I'd be at work doing something with my like AirPods in on Clubhouse talking to people. And
that's what I was doing too. Yeah.
And so like I was just meeting people, and like when I finally moved here, it was quite a few people I met were from Clubhouse, and I don't know what Clubhouse is still doing, but I had forgotten about it till I heard y'all's podcast with Parker.
Yeah,
because I met her on Clubhouse. I don't know if she remembers that or not, but
yeah,
I talked to her, and that's how we began to follow each other.
Mm-hmm. Dude, Clubhouse was crazy. Like the amount of people I met, like my friends that I have here now are people I met on Clubhouse.
Yeah.
And
you could talk to anybody. Like, I remember, like, my roommate, Jono, he would text me in the middle of the day because he was on Clubhouse all day. He's the one that got me, because he would write, and then he'd go sit on Clubhouse. And then he'd write, and they'd say, because he was Zoom writing, so he just sat at home networking and writing the whole time. And he would text me during the day and be like, get on Clubhouse, I'm sending you a ping. And it'd be this room with, like, I ain't even going to name drop, but quite a few, like, people like you wouldn't names, expect to be on there, and, like, you met them and was like, just get in here and introduce yourself. So I did. When I moved to town, I reintroduced myself to those people.
Yeah, and that was a big thing for the podcast, too, is we were able to get on there and tell people about it. And
oh, really?
Yeah, and
I might have heard about it. I'm telling, like, I was in all of, like, they had like the morning chirp, and then they had they had quite a bit.
There was the Goodnight Nashville.
Yeah,
room.
Goodnight Nashville, and then there was. Did you ever get on Bacon's Unhappy Hour?
I was on that a couple times.
I loved
it. Yeah.
Loved it.
But yeah, and we even did a couple writers rounds on there that were kind of cool.
Like people just like plugged in.
We asked people ahead of time, like, "Hey, want to come play a couple songs?" And it turned out well.
Really?
Yeah, and then
I knew some people would learn how to use their interface and play through
you
it.
Could.
I didn't know how well it. I don't know.
Yeah,
how it was supposed to
work. We just did it over people's phones, and
really?
I mean, it sounded like it was coming through a phone, but it was still the cool way to get people to show off their songs.
Oh yeah, I mean, there was nothing to do, especially for art. I couldn't imagine being a full time artist when the pandemic hit.
Oh,
like there was
yeah.
like I was super glad I didn't move, because my roommate, I wouldn't say moved, but he was in Nashville right in the middle of the pandemic, and it worked out for him because everybody was in Nashville either writing or Zoom writing, so he was just, there was never a day where people were on the road. Everybody was just in town the whole time, and so he just ran around this town for like a year.
Jeez.
Just writing his ass off.
That's cool. Your roommate, is it Jono Clayton?
Mm-hmm.
He's cool. We had him on.
Yeah, he was on here.
I
remember listening to the podcast when I was at work. I was at work, and he texted me. He's like, hey, just got put on Tailgate. Yeah, so when I walked out the door, I was like, hadn't you been on this podcast? He was like, yeah, tell him. I said, what's up? So from Jono to
cool.
you, what's up?
Yeah, I haven't seen him around town lately, or since I've been here, I guess. But we'll
he's
have
there,
to,
man.
Yeah. So, I guess, what are some of your influences, some artists that you look up to?
Man, this is going to sound terrible, but that honestly changes with the weather.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember, like, I when it comes to music, I obsess about, like, I will just absolutely just hammer either a genre or an artist for, like, 2 months, and then I'm off of it. But, I still like the songs, but I'm just like, I'm done with that, and I'm on to another one. And, like, here lately, I've been big into, like, Whiskey Myers and a lot of old Skynyrd.
Okay.
I've been really, really into that. I've gone through Stapleton phases. I went through a really good Brantley Gilbert phase. That was fun. I went through that. It just changes. But, like, as far as, like, for songwriting, would be John Prine. Like, I'll turn me on some John Prine. Willie Nelson. I love Willie Nelson. I love Lynyrd Skynyrd. I love Bob Seger. Like, I'm really into old stuff.
Yeah.
But another one that's just off the wall that I, like, vividly remember being a fan of for years, like, all throughout high school, was Florida Georgia Line.
Really?
A lot of people don't want to admit that, but,
yeah,
dude, I mean, Florida Georgia Line. I was listening to them today.
That's, like, the kind of country I grew up listening to, basically.
Yeah, and, like, Al Dean. I remember being a little kid, like, watching CMT when Al Dean was coming up through, and Brad Paisley was coming up through all of that, Craig Campbell, like, all the – when you think of, like – when you look, because all of us watch CMT, I feel like, growing up. When you think of, like, 2005 top 20 CMT, like, whatever goes through your head are a lot of my influences,
nice.
I would say.
So I think I'm going to have you play a cover song. Do you know what you're going to play?
Oh, man.
Something that...
I think I'll play... You want to play a Whiskey Myers song?
Sure.
So this will be Broken Window Serenade by Whiskey Myers for all my Whiskey Myers fans out there. You like Whiskey Myers, honey?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're even better friends now. Well, a couple of pearly flowers is what I brought to you. I saw you through a broken window with a different point of view. You had signs of depression from a long line of sin in your face. Tells a story about the places you have been. I watched you go. I thought you should know. And that cold rain is pouring as you take my hand past the creek down by the holler through your daddy's land. And I could buy you a diamond, but I cannot change the world, cause I ain't got no money and you'll never be my girl, no. Thought you should know. And you was gonna be a singer and a big movie star, but you can't catch no breaks, baby, and Hollywood is hard. Now you work down at the timeout off of 155, and you're dancing for your dollar, just trying to stay alive. It hurts me so. I thought you should know. And you feed your addiction with your crystal meth, and I plead for your life as it takes you to your death. You make your deal with the devil as your looks began to fade. I saw you laughing through the tears as you slowly slipped away. I watched you go. I thought you should know. And that cold rain is pouring as they lay you in the grave, and I can barely recognize you in your fragile state. No more signs of depression from a long time ago. I throw in a pearly flower as they slowly lay you low in walls of rose. I thought you should know. Yeah, walls of rose. Thought you should know. Well, a couple of pearly flowers is what I brought to you. I saw you through a broken window with a different point of view.
When you said you were going to do a Whiskey Myers song, that's the song I was hoping you would do.
Was it really?
That's probably my favorite Whiskey Myers song.
I personally, and this is just me, you can agree or disagree, but I personally feel like that's their best song. Like Stone, I like Stone. I like it a lot, and I'm really glad it got blown up on TikTok. Mm-hmm. Props to them, because that music finally hitting the mainstream is awesome. Like, yeah, you're seeing a big – it's happening with Yellowstone, and this is just my opinion, but I feel like TikTok – is bringing back, like, bringing the outlaw stuff back, because TikTok is, there's no rules. Like, there's no politics. It's nothing. It is strictly based on what people are using, what people are listening to, and what they like. And that's like Warren Zeters. I know he gets a lot of flack from other people, but, I mean, props to him. He's doing something nobody else is doing. And then there's, like, Dawson. I can't think. Is it Edwards? No, not Dawson. Yeah. Edwards, the black guy on TikTok. He sings Luke Combs songs.
I don't know if I've seen him.
Oh, man. He's awesome.
Really?
He's got that grungy outlaw style, and just – I love it, dude. Hmm. And I love that outlaw stuff, and I love the – just that – it's just different. It's not your typical Nashville country. Even though I live here, I absolutely love – I guess you call it Texas country.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely that – you know, there's the Nashville country, then the outlaw Texas kind of music.
Yeah, them boys are awesome.
Yeah, and then
I try to float right in between that line.
Yeah, it's a good line to float between.
I try to hang out in there somewhere.
Yeah. So I guess we can talk about some songwriting a little bit. When did you start songwriting?
Man, I'm honestly super, I say super new, but I started like messing around with songs when I was probably 18 or 19, and mm-hmm. We'd be drinking beer, and I'd have my guitar or something, and my buddies would always be like, man, just come off the top, like play a chord progression, just come off the top. And they thought that was super cool. And Jono, my roommate, was the king of doing that. He's come up with some crazy stuff off the top of his head.
Yeah.
And I would always just be like, man, this ain't my thing. Like, leave that for Jono. And I'd still do it. And I found myself making some cooler lines as I went along. And my first song I ever wrote, I'm going to release it next. And it's one of those songs that, like, I wouldn't care if it got 10 streams. Like, I'm going to release it either way, because it means a lot to me. But it's a song called Dear Raymond, because I grew up in Raymond, Mississippi.
Okay.
And I was struggling writing songs. I was probably, when I wrote this song, I was probably 20 or 21. I'm 24 now. And I remember I was like, I didn't even know what to write about. I was like, I did the same thing everybody when they first start writing does, which is try to fit a million songs into one, when really it's not that hard. You just got to figure out what you want to talk about. And so I was like, well, I know one thing that I know up and down, like the back of my hand, and that's this little town that I grew up in. I'm going to write a song about it. And so this was before Dear Rodeo came out either, because a lot of people be like, oh, you tagged Dear Rodeo. I was like, no, it's not. And my proof is you can go back to the day I moved, and I typed out a long Facebook post, and I titled it Dear Raymond, and I wrote, and this is going to sound so Cody Johnson copying, but I swear I'm not, but I wrote pretty much just like a paragraph or an essay, like a letter back to this town that raised me, thanking everybody for being who I was, and like, I mean, I grew up in a really cool place, and so when I wrote the song, that's kind of what I did, was painted the picture of this town that I grew up in, and it's like the chorus is like, well, it's got a water tower in the middle, Main Street's cracked on both sides, everybody knows your name and they know what you drive, you better be at church on Sunday, we've only got four, if you need a bite to eat, come home, you'll get some more.
That's
and
cool.
It's like, and then the pre-chorus goes, go see the world, marry that girl, but bring her home, Dear Raymond. And
that's
so it's
awesome.
It's like, it's, I mean, I got chills like just talking
about
it.
Yeah, me too.
And it's not a, I mean, it's honestly just an acoustic song. That's all it is. And I'm going to put it out. And if it does well, it does well. But either way, I just like, I owe it back to this town, I feel like, because it's such a little place. And they still support me to this day, even though I don't live there. I play several shows a year down there.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it definitely has some good potential.
Oh, yeah, it's super cool. I may play it later.
Yeah, and was that Facebook post when you were, what, like 15?
I was 15, yeah.
That's really cool.
I did that, and then I'd even forgotten I did it when I started writing the song, and then the memory popped up, and I was like, well, I'll be darned.
Yeah,
it's full circle.
I don't think when I was 15 I would have thought to do that if I moved out of my hometown then.
I've always been into writing anyway. Like, I was really good at writing papers, Like, I always liked creative writing. Like, it's always been – I should have known. Like, yeah. I should have known years ago that, like, writing would be something I love, and now I do it every day. And I couldn't, like, to this day, I still, like, after I write a song, I'll go get, like, a yellow legal pad, and I'll write out the lyrics just to do it, mm-hmm. just because I enjoy writing and putting my thoughts on paper. And, like, a lot of my first songs, I never used a note on my phone or just a notepad full of paper. And I normally take paper to write just because it's just the nostalgia of writing, like, physically writing something with a pen.
Typically, how do you, some of the people you write with, they just – like take notes on their phone or
it depends on the person. I had a write the other day with Connor Sweeney. Do you know Connor?
Yeah, I've met him.
And great guy. Y'all check Connor Sweeney out. And I had one with Kenny Whitmire, another great guy, great artist. He just moved to town this week. And Connor, if you don't know Connor, is a very eccentric person, and he is a very I wish I could think the way Connor Sweeney thinks, because, like, we had this idea, and it was Highway Eyes, and it was nothing more than I'd been on a run, and I came off the road, and I just had been looking at headlights in the dark for 8 hours or whatever, and I just had that old sinking, just tired eye look, and, like, probably bloodshot eyes or whatever, and I don't remember if it was me or somebody said, man, you've got highway eyes, or man, I've got highway eyes, so we started writing a song. Well, Connor, and this is getting back to how people write. Connor, we're writing the song, and I'm like, let's write a song about, you know, being on the road and having highway eyes. Connor just comes out of left field, man, and he goes, and we're in the middle of writing the song, and he stops, and he goes, man, what if highway eyes is a monster? And I'm like, okay, I'll run this road with you. What is it? And he's like, the monster of the road, but he's really made up in your head, and it's because of all, it's like, imagine, picture a trucker, like an outlaw trucker running drugs or whatever, and he's like, he's running, he's like on the run, he's constantly like doing drugs to stay up, and just like in his head, so there's really no such thing, but it's there, and it's called highway eyes, mm-hmm. and like, he just starts rambling, and I'm like grabbing my phone, and like, Kenny, this is like his first or second ride in town, and I'm just like trying to type this stuff, and Kenny's just sitting there with his arms crossed looking at us, and I was like, I don't know what to tell you, dude. This isn't normal. Yeah. So we just started typing stuff up, and he was just rambling. So, I mean, there's just different. I try to be that person.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times too much creativity, and then you lose some. And so, like, a lot of times I'll bow out if somebody's just on a roll and just start typing mm-hmm. everything that they write down, or everything they say, and just put it at the bottom of the note, and then we'll stage it together and make something out of it. But that write ended up being cool. The song is super, super cool.
That's
cool. Really folksy. Like, if you could mix Sturgill Simpson and Tyler Childers into a song, I think it's got Tyler Childers, like, storytelling vibes, but it's got Sturgill's, I guess you would say, I don't know what the word is for, like, complicated words, but.
Complicated words?
There's a word for it, lyrical, I guess would be the word.
Yeah.
But it's very, like, the words that Connor used were impressive. Like, he was, like. Like, I remember there's a line that says, my restless sleep was haunted by some headlights in the dark. Like, it's just, like, this very mystical.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's like, at a truck stop south of Nashville, 5 a.m, there's a sound of big rigs humming, and sounds like a rolling storm. And it, like, rolls through that way.
Yeah.
And then the chorus goes, well, I've seen the man who ran these roads in 1921. A bootlegger, an outlaw, just a rebel on the run. Like that.
That's really cool.
It's different, but to answer your question, there's a limitless way to write down to log your rights. It's just however you can get it on. I've been in some of them where I'll take, as happens a lot with Jono, because he's a very free, I'll call him a free baller, because he'll just start spitballing and he won't remember it, so you just have to hit record. And there's times he'll get on a roll, and I've known him long enough and written with him long enough to know when that's coming. And I'll just take my phone and hit record. And he doesn't stop. It doesn't bother him.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll just go. And then when he's done, he'll even stop it and go look back at it and say, okay, what did I do there?
That's cool. Yeah, I think that's the best version of when I ask someone their writing process, you know, of what anyone said yet. That's really cool.
I say this all the time. There's no rules.
Yeah, no.
In music, there's no rules.
No.
And that's my favorite part about it. However it gets done. It gets done.
Yeah. So do you write many songs by yourself, or are you mostly a co-write guy now?
I'm a co-write guy due to my lack of knowledge in the writing world. I haven't really sat down and tried to do any solo stuff. I'll write. I'm big on like hearing something in my head, and then I'll like maybe like sing it into my phone, and then take it to a write. Dang, I keep knocking the mess out of this phone, this thing right here. But no, not really. I don't really do much solo stuff. I like to have the influence of other people. Like, yeah. I like to try to mix it up a little bit. Like, I was writing with Jake Gant today. Amazing guitar players, like me, Jake, Presley, and Sam. And it just different dynamics help. Like, I know some people like writing with a track guy. I haven't been able to do that yet. Mm-hmm. But I personally like writing with really good guitar players. And then somebody like Connor, or just like a lot of the people in Nashville who are just very, very good at writing songs. And in my opinion, I'm mediocre when it comes to it. But I still throw my two cents in there and try to make a good song every now and then. We've got some decent ones.
Yeah, that's cool. Let's talk about the song you just released, Little Less Here.
Little Less Here, man. Wow. That one's been a journey. It's been fun. And it's definitely not even a blip in the country music scene. But for me, that was like a pivotal thing, because all I had in my pocket till I moved was Dear Raymond. And I was going to release it first. And then just out of the blue one day, shortly after I moved here, Jono came home. And I was playing some little lick on my guitar, and I was like, man, you got to write? And he's like, nah. I was like, I don't either. He's like, well, let's write one. So we drug our kitchen chairs up to the loft in our house. I don't even think we had our futon up there yet for the people that have been in my house, you know. And he just did his thing of, like, he just started going off the top of his head with something, and he just busted. Or he started it out, and he was like, let's write something, like, about wanting to go back home. And I was like, yeah, but like, let's not write a No Place Like Home type ordeal or something. Like, I mean, anything, No Place Like Hometown, whatever.
Right.
And he just comes out and he goes, well, I need a little less here, a little more out there somewhere where it never gets old. And I was like,
that's
okay. That's catchy.
Pull that out like that. Dang.
Yeah, that's him, man. He's awesome. Thank God for him. Rosie wrote songs with him. And, sure enough, like it was a pretty quick write. Like, it just happened. Like, it was, like, he'd have a good idea, and it would stick. And then I'd have a good idea, and it would stick. And then we kept rolling. We got stuck a little bit on the second verse. I wrote the bridge 5 minutes in. Like, I already had it in my head. So when the bridge came up, we did it, and then took it to Josh Bright down in Boaz. And here she is. I released it on the opening day of duck season.
Nice. Was that by design?
By design.
Nice.
Absolutely, because I've set my release date, and I called my buddies in Arkansas, and I was like, I'm coming to Arkansas, because I wanted to play in my hometown. It didn't work out with the bars for a release party, and I was like, next best thing is go to Arkansas and go duck hunting on the release day. So
there you go.
I set it for 11:59 before opening day of duck season. So that next morning, I got up to go to the hole, and my phone's just banging off the rails. Everybody's blasting it. It's opening day. A lot of duck hunters follow me. There's people in their mud boats, and they're blaring it going through the woods. And I'm like, I was just cheesing ear to ear. Ended up killing quite a few mallards that day, and just had a great day.
That sounds like a great day.
Mm-hmm. It's like my birthday. That's what it felt
so like. I guess, what was your reason for that being your first release? Just a
man, it just punched, man. Yeah, we wrote it, and I was like, well, no, I'll take that back. It punched, but I didn't even have a work tape of it when I went to go finish my recording for Dear Raymond. So I went down to Boaz. This is shortly after we wrote it, probably a week after we wrote it. It grand design, I guess. I don't know. And I went down to Boaz, and we finished up Dear Raymond, and Josh was like, well, man, we got a little bit of time. Like, you got anything? And I said, yeah, we got a work tape of this song. And I was kind of thinking I wanted to record it, but I don't know. I mean, like I said, I'm 2-3 weeks into living in Nashville. Like, I really haven't even met that many people. I don't really have a feel for the town yet.
Yeah.
Not really any direction. I was like, I don't know. Let's try it. And dude, he worked up a demo. I'll send it to you. I'll send you the demo. And he worked up a demo, and I sent it to Jono, and I was like, what do you think? And he was like, cut it, cut the shit out of it. I was like,
nice.
All right. And so we ended up, I went back and cut it and then put it out on opening day.
Love
a lot of people
it.
Asked me that. And it was one of those things like you kind of had to be a duck hunter to know that I did it that way. But everybody who duck hunted and knew me and knows that I duck hunt was like, you sly dog.
You want to play that one for us?
A little less here?
Yep.
Yeah, I can.
Let's do it.
This is my debut single that is available on all platforms. Little Less Here. Come on. Working like a dog, damn. Got some problems need solved, but there's beer drinking money in the bank. So get gone, 87 in the tank. Time, it ain't been on my side, but I'm trying. Find a bit of peace of mind, and buddy, I'll tell you what I need. A little back home, East Tennessee. I need a little less here, a little more out there, somewhere where it never gets old. Need to think about life with some cold Bud Light when it's down on an old back road. Cause the world's been crazy and buddy here, and lately I've been looking for a slowdown. I need a little less here, a little more out there, somewhere right now. Long days keep getting me closer to the grave. But I gotta make sure my bills are paid. A man, I've had enough. Time to get back to where I come from. I need a little less here, a little more out there, somewhere where it never gets old. Need to think about life with some cold Bud Light when it's down on an old back road. Cause the world's been crazy and buddy here, and lately I've been looking for a slowdown. I need a little less here, a little more out there, somewhere right now. Yeah, the big city's pretty, but man, I gotta get me up and on out of this town. Somewhere where the catfish are biting and the porch goes all the way around. I need a little less here, a little more out there, somewhere where it never gets old. Need to think about life with some cold Bud Light when it's down on an old back road. World's been crazy and buddy here, and lately I've been looking for a slowdown. I need a little less here, a little more out there, somewhere right now. Little Less Here, like I said, available on all platforms where you can go get them.
Looks like back in 2021, you had the opportunity to play some shows.
Man, yeah, we did. We had 2021 for me. God, I could, like, I made a post at the end of the year, and the, I mean, this was on New Year's Day, but I made a post at the end of the year, and like, look, I was in a deer stand when I did it, and like, I remember being in the deer stand, and I was almost in tears because like, if you looked at that post and you knew me and you knew like what I had done and like the risk I'd taken, and like, I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm just like, I did, like, I mean, it was crazy. Like what all, like my year was so nuts. Like in January, I didn't have dreams of playing a music in playing music at all. Like in playing or doing anything other than what I was doing on the weekend. Like I was making a little money. I was doing all right. Like I didn't really care much more than that. And then I don't know, something kind of sparked in me in January to like make me want to save up and move here. And then you can kind of watch that journey, and you can kind of watch it as my hair grows. It's actually really funny because like in January I had short hair, but like you can just kind of watch me grow and my hair grow at the same time. And I started playing more and more gigs and getting more serious about it. Like, I remember right before I moved, I was spending a lot of time kayaking, which is really, it's different, but yeah. I'm really ADHD. And so, like, if I'm around anything, like, I'm going to get distracted, at least by people. So, like, the place for me to clear my head is completely away from everybody. So usually that's in a deer stand or on a kayak. And so I would take a kayak out, throw me a few beers on the back of it, and I wouldn't even go far. I'd just take my truck somewhere down by the lake, because my, like, where my parents live, where I lived, is near water. And so I'd just throw my kayak in and go out to the middle of the lake and just sit there and think. And, like, think about, like, I remember one day specifically, I sat there and I was like, why do you want to do this, Walker? It's like me talking to me. And I was like, why do you want to do this? And I made myself think about that answer, and I was like, because at the end of the day, you love it. I love it. Whoever's talking to who in that situation is like, I love it. And I'd kind of had problems getting up there and worrying too much about this and worrying too much about that and, like, watching the crowd. And then I was like, my next show, I'll promise myself to do nothing but have fun and just have a blast. Like, doesn't matter if I'm playing to nobody. My goal is to get up there and have a blast and quit worrying about all this stupid shit. And, dude, for an acoustic show where I played it, it rocked. It was awesome. And so, like, I remember getting done with that one, and I was like, what's something I've never done? I was like, I've never played an entire show by myself standing up. Weird as it is, I've never done it. So the next show, I played it standing up just to do it, just to see if I could do it. And just kind of started challenging myself more and more throughout the year, and then kind of getting prepared for Nashville and just seeing, like, what I'm made of. Like, just you don't get better without getting better, like, without trying to get better. And so that's what I did, was I just made my goal from January until June to just get better and get used to getting better, get used to finding ways to get better and grow, so that now that I'm here, I'm like, what can I do? What can I do that's feasible? What can I do that's questionably feasible? Like, the questionably thing would be in September. It was like August, or it might have been July. Jono comes to me and he's like, hey, man, we're going to have a 3-band party back home. And we normally play on Labor Day. We normally play this one bar on Memorial Day and Labor Day. He's like, we're not doing it there because we've grown out of it. We were packing tons and tons of people in there. You can go see the videos. It was awesome, man. Make you feel like a rock star.
Yeah.
It was, I'll go into that later. But he's like, we're going to throw it on our own. We're going to get event insurance. We're going to rent out this barn. It's got plenty of parking. These guys are going to cater. Like, he, props to him. He threw together, like, a really, really cool event.
Yeah,
a lot of people had
really
bad
cool
things to say about it. But for a 21-year-old, 22 now, I think. I don't know if he's 22 yet. But for a 21, 22-year-old to put that event together, like, he had a bar come out and cater it for a beer. He had the guys that own the place did catering anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So they were selling plates. We had merch people out there. We had sponsors. Like, I did all the sound. We had a light guy. We had a sound guy. Like, it was legit.
That's, yeah.
But getting back, he told me, he said, we're going to have a 3-band event. I didn't have a band. I never had a band. I'd played a few openers with his band, but nothing more.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, can you do it? He's like, I know you don't have a band, but he's like, I'm kind of challenging you. I was like, he said, I want to see if you can do it. And I'm that guy. Like, you tell me you can't do something, or you don't think I can do something, or, like, you want to see if I can. I'm doing it within reason. Obviously, I'm not jumping off a bridge. But
yeah.
And so I just made a ton of phone calls and threw a band together. Great guys. I love my band. Practiced. And finally got everything together. Played that first show. Looking back, was it the best? No. But for a first show, was it awesome? Absolutely. Like, I would play that show 10 times over, exactly how it went. And it was awesome. It was me, another guy, and Jono played all that night. And it was just, it was awesome.
Like, that sounds really awesome.
Turned around after that, and I had opened a show at Rick's Cafe in Starkville for Wesley Walker, who lives in Mississippi. He's good friends with Paxton P, who now lives here.
Mm-hmm.
I played at Rick's, and like the week after, I came back from the show in Maryville, the barn show. I meet Paxton in a bar, and I knew who he was. He knew who I was. We never met. Met Paxton, got to know him, and I was just messing with him one day. I said, man, y'all let me open up for you down there at Rick's. And he was like, you think you can do it? there it was again. I was like,
yeah.
Yeah, I can. So he gave me a price, and I was like, I'm not going to make any money. How can I do this? So I called my hometown, and I was like, I need 2 gigs. So I got I booked one event gig one night and another event gig or another event the next night, both solo acoustic, made my money for the weekend, took my guys, got them all the way from East Tennessee to Starkville, got an Airbnb, loaded them up, opened the show, kicked ass, man.
That's awesome.
And we turned – I mean, it was amazing. Like, my band had never seen anything like that. I'd never seen anything. We sold it out. And I say we. Paxton sold it out. We were there. And who knows? We might have helped him sell it out. Probably not. He kills it down there. And we got done with that. Just nothing but praise from everybody. It was a great show. There's pictures on my Instagram, videos on my Instagram. And turned around in November. So that was in October. That was in October. So September was the barn. October was playing with Paxton down there, and then went back to my hometown of the Cotton Eye Joe. You ever heard of that place?
Yeah, I think so.
When they say the world famous Cotton Eye Joe, legitimately, it's where a lot of people have cut their teeth. I've seen Cole Swindell there, Granger Smith. I've seen Upchurch there. I've seen the guy that sings Slow as a Mississippi, Kanan Smith.
Yeah.
Coe Wetzel. I mean, just countless of people I've seen there. Carly Rogers reached out to me before I moved here and asked if I wanted to play a gig down there, opening for her. We went, took the band, played full band down there, kicked it. I mean, just had an absolute blast. Had my buddy Brennan Cato come out and shoot the whole thing, and it was awesome, man.
That's cool.
If you go look at the picture, like we're standing up in front of the crowd, like it was just one of those moments. Like I came off stage and like I was almost in tears. Like I was just like,
that's awesome.
Like I could really see me doing. And those three shows are my first 3 full band shows as an artist, and they're 3 amazing shows.
Yeah. Like,
first show was to 250 people, second show was to 850 people, and then the third show was to about 300 people, and I was like, dude, like I don't know anybody whose first show looked like that.
Yeah, so I'm trying to think about some of the other artists I know if they played any shows like that, and not that I can think of.
I don't know. I mean, grace of God, and just I'm forever thankful for the people that support me, because in Knoxville, there was definitely a lot of my friends. There was, I mean, I'll even shout him out as my buddy Jake Barbara, man. He brought like 30 people.
That's cool.
I used to work with him, and he called me the week before, and he said, hey, man, you're playing at the Joe, ain't you? And I was like, yeah. He's like, how much is it? I was like, it's like $10 a head. He's like, we're there. And, dude, they showed up I remember sitting in the green room, and I stepped outside to do my pre-show cigarette. It's a terrible, unhealthy habit, but I do it. And I stepped outside, and the door to go in the bar is right there. And then just this flock of people just comes by, and it's all my friends. And I'm like, dude, I couldn't be more happy. Like, in the picture, I can name just about every person in the picture on my Instagram.
That's cool.
Like, it's awesome. Like, just to see that love come back from East Tennessee is like, makes it all worth it. Like, I've dropped Little Less Here since then, and I haven't played there, and we're booking shows there, and I cannot wait to play Little Less Here.
Nice.
So, like, that's where all my numbers are, or is it East Tennessee?
Is it?
So, I can't wait to go back home and play a full band show and just hear them scream. I know they're going to do it. Hear them scream Little Less Here back to me.
That's going to be awesome.
It's
going
to be. I can't wait, man. I cannot wait.
I mean, that's how you get started, too. Like, your friends come, and then they tell their friends about you, and then their friends tell their friends, and it just blossoms from there.
Well, it helps getting other venues playing those. I'm sorry, I got away from the mic, but it helps with other venues too, because it's like street cred. And so now, since we played that Cotton Eye Joe show, I just got an email from a big bar in Knoxville that was like, hey, we want y'all to come play. And I was like, man,
that's cool.
I'm like, dude, this is like it's pivotal bar. Like, it's a big spot. And another place that like Parker McCollum has played. And I think Ella Langley opened up for him there, a place called Mill in the Mine. They reached out to us for opener slots. And I was like, this is what I'm talking about. Like, it's just all. You sit back and thank God, because, I mean, I do every day, because it's just, there's no explanation for what's happening to me. It is.
Yeah,
and
dude.
And it's happening fast.
That's awesome.
And so I love it. And I'm not saying I'm going to be the next prodigy or next thing to blow up, but for what I am and what I'm doing, it's been nothing short of a blessing.
That's
this year has.
Really awesome. Do you have anything on the books that you can talk about coming
up? Oh, yeah. We've, couple buddies of mine that actually a couple of them play with Paxton, but they wanted to do another gig just for fun, and we booked one at Steele's Dive in Tupelo, Mississippi. And it's on March 5th, and we did our first practice this past weekend. By the way, if anybody's flying to Tupelo out of Nashville, it's $40 to fly there and $40 to fly back. So get on that if you need to. But flew down there and jammed with the guys. Solid practice. So I'm looking forward to doing that one. And then we've got a few more. I'm honestly booking has been kind of hard right now just for me being where I'm at because I'm trying to get – like, my first three shows were all opener acts. Like, I just kind of, like, threw myself to the wolves. So, now I'm backtracking and putting together a three-hour set to be headlining places now.
Right.
And so, I've done a lot of things kind of ass backwards. But
nothing wrong with that.
They're working out.
So, what about, like, around Nashville? Are you playing in many writers' rounds?
I've played the local. Honestly, no. I played the local. And don't y'all have a writers' round?
Not yet.
Is there, what is it? There's like tailgate. Isn't there a tailgate country?
No, I think there's like a, you're talking about like.
Grindhouse. I played Grindhouse. Yeah. Okay, similar logo, I think.
Yeah.
But I played Grindhouse. I've played, there's one at the Dogwood that I've played. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a smaller round. That one actually turned out, it was cool. That was where I met my first industry person, was at the smallest round I've ever played. But it was really neat. Shout out to Caroline. And I've played in the round. I think I played in the round more than one time. I can't remember. But I honestly haven't played that many writers' rounds. I still work. I still have a job.
Okay.
And so it's kind of hard to do.
Yeah, I bet. I think that's kind of all I got for you. You want to let everyone know where they can find you on social media?
I'm just going to hit this mic five more times with this cup. My God. Social media, if you want to find me anywhere, Walker Wilson Music is your go-to. You can go to walkerwilsonmusic.com for anything upcoming. We're working on getting merch on there. Supposed to be getting some new merch coming in, so you guys can go tag on that. And Instagram, Walker Wilson Music. Facebook, Walker Wilson Music. Twitter, you can probably just type in Walker Wilson. I don't have much going on Twitter, but pretty much. And then TikTok, Instagram, or TikTok, Walker Wilson Music. And then Venmo is also Walker Wilson Music. Y'all are feeling generous.
But all right, well.
Man, Hunter, I appreciate y'all having me, man. Tailgate is I'm a big supporter of you guys. Y'all are awesome.
Thanks, man. I was glad to have you.
Heck yeah, dude. This is a song I wrote the other day, actually. I wrote it, I guess it was last Wednesday or Thursday, one of those days. And I wrote it with Sam Johnson and Max King, probably one of the most laid-back writers I've ever had in my life. We sat there drinking coffee and talking for most of it, and we'd lean up and get a line down, and we'd sit back and talk a little bit more, and then somebody'd think of something and write it down. It was like a three-hour write that probably could have been done in an hour, but it worked out for the best. But it's called Well Whiskey, and it's kind of off the premise of, like, it ended well whiskey. Nice. Like, it's kind of like a play on words. Cool. So here we go. Cloud on the driveway, blows out in the yard. Sitting on a hardwood, smoking on a Marlboro. Never thought she'd take it this far. By letter on the counter, my dog's gone off the chain. The only thing she left me was a finger out the window and a 24 karat ring. It ended well, whiskey bottom shelf. Tipsy, went from talk of the town to running your mouth. Bunch of bull S-H-I-T. You can go to hell and miss me. Farewell. Don't wish we could get back what we had. Tell the devil he could kiss my glass. It ended well. Just how you're doing, I quite frankly don't give a damn. I'll take a neon crowd and a country sound over seeing your ass again. It ended well, whiskey bottom shelf. Tipsy, went from talk of the town to running your mouth. Bunch of bull S-H-I-T. You can go to hell and miss me. Farewell. Don't wish we back what we had. Tell the devil he could kiss my glass. It ended well.
bottom shelf. Tipsy, went from talk of the town to running your mouth. Bunch of bull S-H-I-T. You can go to hell. Miss me, farewell. Don't wish we could get back what we had. Tell the devil he could kiss my glass. It ended well. Whiskey.
Woo! Hell yeah. Dude, I'm excited about that one. That we wrote it the other day, and I was like, we got done with it, and I ended up, it's one of those, like, you get done with, and you're like, ah, and I got back home and played it, and I was like, yeah, I've been listening to it all day in my truck.
That's awesome.